Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and the people of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is eternal, is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, content and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. I was lying in bed, and the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into the presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the king, that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw whilst lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the island. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong. Its top touched the sky. It was visible from to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, and its fruit was abundant. And on it was food for all, and under it the animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there was before me a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip it of its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stumps and its roots be bound with iron and bronze remain in the ground in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let his mind be changed into an animal's. Till seven times have passed for him. The decision is announced by the messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all. Kingdoms on earth, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of people. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret for me. But you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, My lord, if If only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing fruit for all, giving shelter to the wild animals, having nesting places in its branches for the birds. Your Majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth. Your Majesty saw a Holy One, a messenger, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field. And while its roots remain in the ground, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, Your Majesty, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you, until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, Your Majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. He said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you, and you will be driven away from people and will live in the wild with animals. You will eat grass like the ox. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said was about King Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the people of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold him. It can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honour and my splendour were returned to me. for the glory of my kingdom. My advisers and my nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne, and became even greater than I was before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt, and all glorifying the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. As those who walk in pride, he is humble.
Good morning and welcome to Newcastle Baptist Church and our series looking at the book of Daniel. I'm James, a member of the church, and I've agreed to share a few thoughts on the fourth chapter of Daniel. A big thank you first to Daniel for his reading. It was great. This chapter raises some important and challenging questions. Here was an absolute ruler with the power of life and death over hundreds of thousands of people. And he'd seen repeatedly what God could do, and yet it seems that he chose to ignore it and carry on in arrogant pride and self-assurance. Why did God keep persisting with him to try and make him change? Many less bad people, before and since, had less opportunities, it would seem, to change before judgment fell on them. But we don't know for sure how many times any individual has to repent and seek God's forgiveness. How many times has guilt pricked your conscience, whether in a sermon, reading the Bible, having a one-to-one chat with somebody, and you've put it away in your mind for another day, when I've got more time, or even when atheists have finally nailed it as a bunch of myths that I no longer need to think about? Or, if you're a person of faith like Daniel, have you taken the opportunity to challenge somebody with power in your life to change their ways? Or have you rather just sat back and hoped they got their just desserts? If God's grace has found me, I should desire everyone to share in it, whatever the cost. That's a real challenge to me. As you see, I am back in the field of maize I was in May. I will shortly share a few thoughts from a platform looking down on the field. I hope Judith, who is operating the platform from a JCB, loves me enough not to tip me out. Why am I up here? To give you a simple idea of how Nebuchadnezzar thought through his dream. Imagine each plant in this field is a person. Because I know the size of the field and the seed rate of planting, I can tell you there are about 500,000 plants here. Babylon was a big city, probably about 3 or 4 square miles. Built up to magnificence at his orders. You can see pictures of an image of what it looked like if you go online. It was built up to magnificence at his orders. His empire covered thousands of square miles. So he had reason to believe that it was all his doing. Back to the plants. You would find it difficult to distinguish from here a single plant or care about it, though each one is important to the harvest, thus the owner's wealth and prestige, i.e. the people of Babylon and the citizens of the empire and the slaves. Daniel begged the king to break from your sins by being righteous and showing mercy to the poor. I, like him, sometimes need to get down and care more about individuals and not just the big picture. The story speaks to my heart in a very personal way. Why? I am proud, sometimes absurdly, as proud as Nebuchadnezzar. You say, I've never heard you say how great you are and what you have done. No, but I think sometimes like him and the Pharisee, maybe you do too. I'm better than him or her. Live better, think better. Or I spend periods of time acting as if I do not need or want God or his revelation in Jesus Christ in my life. I guess Nebuchadnezzar's world came crashing down when he spoke those kinds of thoughts aloud. I've often realized my own similar folly, and I have the advantages of being able to read the New Testament and not being, like him, born the son of a king. The New Testament tells us of the creator of the universe who cared so much about the people he created that he emptied himself, came into our world as a baby to show God's love. He lived to serve and died to save and rose again to justify any who believed in him. Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson very painfully by extreme humiliation, living like an animal till he acknowledged a ruler of an everlasting, universal kingdom whose works are true and ways are justice and is able to put down those who walk in pride. These plants here are over 6 foot high now. They might grow another foot or so. But what if, however, unlike these tall plants, unlike one of those lesser, poor plants, these ones that are on the periphery of the field, or indeed the periphery of society, for whatever reason, didn't get the same opportunities, life treated them unfairly. This plant here, planted at the same time and is less than 18 inches high. Even there, pride can affect me. I can see myself and some around me. Most of them appear to be bigger and stronger, fitter and better able to cope. But even there, my perspective can be warped too. I cannot see God's bigger perspective. I say God does not exist, or certainly does not care about me, or else he would do something to help. When I feel like that, I wrap myself in a comfort blanket of bitterness, resentment, and envy or self-pity, like the servant who hid his talent and reproached his master. That is pride too. There are a few sins more frequently condemned in the Bible than pride in its various forms. It is said to precede destruction. God is said in by two of the apostles to resist it. Mary, the mother of Jesus, says, God scatters the proud. Whatever our current situation, whether in success or failure, pride blocks God out. Read the Gospels again, or for the first time, find again Jesus, God come to us as a man. The only human who had every right to be proud, but humbled himself enough for me and my pride to die on a cross for me and you. Most importantly, he is alive today, willing to save and also to wrestle with you, as he did with another proud human, Jacob, all those thousands of years ago. I've chosen as our closing hymn a rendition of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, sung by the Dalian Singers, the choir I sing with, when they were on a tour in Scotland, in Dumfries, in southwest Scotland. I chose this recording not because I and Joe Somerville were singing in it, but because I remember my emotions when I sang it. About half an hour before singing it, Arsenal, the team I support, had won the FA Cup for a record 13th time. Singing this hymn put that into perspective. Listen to the words. I was also in a part of Scotland that my grandmother came from, and I had been researching her early life. Both she and I came to faith, but she had a very different start in life to me. It made me think. Finally, I did reflect as the choir sang with such fervour that there were members then and now for whom this was just another song, and it had no real relevance to their lives at all. May the truth of the words not leave you unmoved.